It's a great pleasure to read the scripture in preparation for our hearing from the witness of Ken Began, our guest steward this year. I was pleased Ken met with our lay stewards at the beginning of our stewardship season and shared a bit of his background and to learn that he has many years put in not only at the Chiltonville Church, pastored by our dear Susan Thornton, but also at the Mayflower Church in Kingston. Ken's been a brother in this pilgrim way, but with a deep love and appreciation for what the Lord Jesus has done for his life. I don't want to take his whole message away from him, but we're just glad to have him with us. Would you give ear then to this reading from the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can be.
Good morning, everyone. It really is my pleasure to be here. For me, this will be the fun part because I've done the hard part of preparation. So thank you for the invitation, and good morning once again. So my name is Ken Began, and it is a pleasure to be here with you today. I'm grateful to Pastor Smith for the invitation. If you don't know who I am, take heart. I don't know who any of you are either. That's not exactly true. I do know Sue and David Gray, a few others, and I attended their marriage ceremony here in your church. I've met with your pastor once, and Carol Smith on several occasions, once at a one-day church retreat we were hosting at our home in Plymouth. I'm here today with Wendy, my wife of 39 years, and she's sitting right there. Okay. We met in church when Wendy was 18 and I was 22, and we married 4 years later. So if you do the math, I am now 65, and Wendy is still just 39. As a layperson, I'm a member of Chiltonville Congregational Church, as Pastor Smith said. And my pastor, as Pastor Smith said, is Susan Thornton, a woman known to many of you gathered here this morning. Last week, Pastor Smith spoke about the biblical basis for stewardship. I've been asked to speak about what God has taught me and is teaching me about living as a steward of his blessings. My message to you this morning is not intended to be a scholarly master's class seeking to unravel all that this topic may entail. I'll leave that for someone much more qualified than myself. Instead, for the next 21 minutes, I've timed this. So you can relax, okay? So for the next 21 minutes, I would just like to have a conversation with you. I'm simply going to speak in practical ways about how the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, is at work in our lives as a married couple, and what he has taught us through one another, through other people, through the joys and difficulties of life, and through the study of his word. And I will address how I have come to view my responsibilities as a steward of the blessings God has showered upon me and each of us. So just quickly, what is a steward? The English word is derived from two French words, house and warden, or guardian. So a house guardian, one who guards and protects. At the core of the definition of the word steward is one who is in charge of things belonging to another. When I think about God's blessings in my life, A picture pops into my head of a large, clear glass vase, overflowing with bright, colorful glass marbles, each marble representing one of God's blessings. And I am the cracked, clear, chipped container allowed for a time to contain and distribute these blessings to others, recognizing first that these blessings are God's assets, not mine. They are undeserved and unearned except by God's amazing grace. And maybe that's why one of my favorite hymns is Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So what should my life as a Christian look like on a daily basis as I seek to serve God with the assets and blessings he has entrusted to me? Our God is a God of provision. Our God from the beginning has always been a God that provides for man. Genesis 2, 4 through 17 gives an account of God providing for what man would need before God had formed man from the dust of the ground. With no vegetation yet on the earth, he brought forth water up from the earth. Before man, the Lord God planted a garden filled with all kinds of beautiful trees and a great variety of trees good for food. Then he formed man. The picture here is one of God reaching down, putting his hands into the ground and forming us as a potter forms a vessel from clay. God's fingerprints were all over us from the very beginning. And then, with his very breath, he breathed into us the breath of life. Our God will always provide for our physical needs. So if I truly believe this at my core, and I trust God's character, I need no longer hold tightly onto the things he's blessed me with, as though they were mine. Instead, I can approach him with open and uplifted hands, offering them freely and making them readily available to him, even eagerly, for his purposes. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus declares, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" God has shown for me being a good steward of his blessings is learning to be sensitive to recognizing God at work around me and my being intentional about entering into his activity wherever I am. I like the visual image of simply being a conduit of God's resources. So imagine for a moment taking part in one of the old-fashioned fire bucket brigades, where everyone lines up and participates in passing the bucket of water a bit closer to its destination with the goal of putting out the fire. Each one of us can participate in his work. It does not require a special skill set to help. It simply requires a willingness to participate. Collectively, we can accomplish much. So pass God's blessings along to their next intended destination. And in the process, you know what happens. You become part of the blessing God uses to bless others and meet their needs. You become part of someone else's answer to prayer. We are all in this together. We are all part of his ministry. Wherever I am, whomever I'm with, and whatever I'm doing, all of his blessings are with me. The talents he's given me, the education, the experiences, the wisdom, my background in business and architecture, my knowledge of God's words, the scripture verses I've memorized, all his assets and his funds all go with me, where I am. They are also, and all should be, available to be used, given away, and passed along as God directs. For years, my wife taught our church's Sunday school girls' high school class. They were known as Wendy's Girls, and some of them still, years later, call themselves Wendy's Girls. She would ask them this question: what part of your life is not affected by your faith? The answer, of course, is there is no part of my life that is not affected by my faith. Work, school, family, friends, job. For me, my work is one of God's blessings. I like my job. I like what I do, and it's the means by which God has chosen to provide for my family, other employees, other family members, our church, Christian missionaries, other Christian organizations. But my business is much more than the sum of these things. It is also one of my front lines, one of the places God can use me for more important things than providing a service or a product to a client. Everyone that works for me is a strong practicing Christian. From the beginning, we put God at the center of our business. We pray for his guidance, help, and provision. We seek to honor him in our business ethics, in always keeping our promises to vendors and clients, to doing our best in every task, and being tender to the leading of the Holy Spirit and speaking God's truth in love. Dr. Martin Luther King said on many occasions, "Those who you would change, you must first love, and they must know that you love them." In our business, we seek to be the reflection of Christ's love to our clients, and in time, they recognize a difference in our words, behaviors, and actions, and they are often drawn to it. We can speak of God's care and blessings and often pray with them and for them, because everyone has a need. Clients seek us out to share with us the happiest moments in their lives, as well as the times when they are experiencing life's greatest losses and going through life's greatest difficulties. On the counter in our store, we have a small stack of our daily breads and NIV New Testaments. Over the years, we've given away thousands of these to clients, and some clients may simply pop in now, not for business, but simply to grab the latest copy of our daily bread or pick up a New Testament to give to a friend. What have I learned about being a good steward of the Lord's finances? Well, the first thing I've learned is to seek out wise counsel. My wife. It's true. She is my partner in life. And to this very day, it ceases to amaze both of us that we are on the same page concerning money and finances about 95% of the time. Whether it be business decisions, personal finances, tithes and offerings, we can talk about it, think and pray about it, and sometimes, most often, we just know what God wants us to do or to give, and we obey. My dad was my best example of a man having a generous and tender heart for giving to the Lord's work. My dad, for as long as I can remember, was always a business owner. However, he came from a very poor background, served in World War II, and because of that, under the GI Bill, was the first person in his family ever to go to college. He came to faith in Christ in his mid-40s, as did my mom. Now, as a Christian business owner, he quickly embraced the importance of biblical tithing, and he joyfully supported far more Christian ministries than I could ever hope to remember. But my dad didn't just write checks. He wanted to get involved deeply with helping people in need and helping to lead them to Christ. So from the age of 13, I understood the joy that comes from being a cheerful giver, seeing how God can bless you while he's blessing others. My dad taught me to keep an open hand and an open heart to how God is directing me to give and support his work. The Lord has taught me and continues to teach me the importance of being a good steward of his time, my thoughts, my time, and creating a godly environment in our home. This was not always the case in our life. About 10 years ago, I had drifted into the poor pattern of getting home from work at about 7 o'clock and watching television for the 2 hours following dinner and before bedtime. Night after night, this was how I chose to fill my limited free time. For me, at the end of the day, it was simply mindless entertainment. Wendy, being wiser, would spend her time listening to good music and reading, writing in her journal, and writing encouraging notes to others. Two important things were happening. I wasn't growing in my faith, and I wasn't growing closer to my wife. I had made an unhealthy and unwise choice for our home. But then the Lord did a wonderful thing, an amazing thing. And like the prodigal son, when he came to his senses, when I came to my senses, and this may be a little shocking, one day we took the television, loaded it into the car, drove to the dump, dropped it off, and drove away. Now, I'm not suggesting any of you do this, but for us, it was one of the best choices we've ever made. It was a decision, it was a choice. It was an intentional choice to be a better steward of his blessings and a better husband to Wendy. Now we spend the same 2 hours together, relaxing, talking, listening to great music, and reading, often reading my study Bible. Now our home is much more like a sanctuary, a haven, and it is a peaceful place. So protect your blessings. Remember the definition of a steward, a house guard. Control what you allow into your mind and take control of what you allow into your home. One of God's blessings in my clear glass vase is Scripture. Where would we be without the greatest true story ever told? So what is the Holy Spirit teaching me about His Word and being a good steward of Scripture? Growing up as a boy, I was a Boy Scout. As a scout, we met weekly. We recited the Pledge of Allegiance and the Boy Scout Creed. We studied, learned, and practiced our semaphore signals and knot tying and learning their uses and applications. We practiced how to march properly, and we marched in both the 4th of July and Memorial Day parades. We camped, attended national jamborees, and earned merit badges all along the way. Does anyone here remember the Boy Scout motto? Be prepared. As a boy, I imagine this to mean be prepared for anything. Be prepared to help anyone in need, help put out a fire, save someone's life, perhaps by using my official Boy Scout first aid kit. We prepared to be good citizens, good neighbors, and with great pride, good Americans. The last line in the Boy Scout Creed is, to God and our country. We took learning and practicing these things seriously. It was important. And for me, it was good that I did. Because at a young age, on a typical, beautiful summer day, I saved my brother from drowning. So now, as a 65-year-old and as a newly designated senior citizen, you've been there. That simple motto, be prepared, fits quite perfectly as a motto for my Christian life. Be prepared to use all his blessings. Being prepared, by definition, requires preparation. It requires learning, practice, and effort on my part and on your part. This is your church, your classroom, the place where you are taught and instructed. Be sure to be here and take full advantage of the opportunities that are here. Think about purchasing perhaps your own study Bible. You will be amazed at all of the clarifying information it contains. I was. And memorize Scripture. It will allow you to speak the gospel with authority and confidence to those the Lord will place in your path. Get prepared, be prepared, and get ready to be used. You never know whose life you might help to save. And finally, what I really want to be at the end of each day, to friend and stranger alike, is I want my life to be the signpost that points to Christ and declares, I want you to meet my Savior. I want you to have the joy, the hope, the assurance, a life full and abundant with God's blessings. We're all in this ministry together. So count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done and will do. Thank you for listening.